Let's get to Marvin Lowe, our guest, senior global macro strategist at State Street. So, Marvin, I wanted to start off just about every guest with a question, really just sort of remembrances about the Queen. Her reign spanned such a period from the steam engine to the smartphone. And I saw this incredible line that 85% of people in Britain were born after she ascended the throne. And it's one thing to remain above the fray, but to be that beloved is quite remarkable. Your thoughts just on the passing of Queen Elizabeth?
Well, you know, ultimately, as an American watching from afar, you know, she certainly didn't have as big of an impact on our daily lives. But, you know, she is the embodiment of the UK, and kind of we viewed her and have seen her for so long. So, you know, certainly, our condolences go out to all the British as well as the family as they, you know, deal with what's going to be a big loss for the world.
Marvin, one thing that the Queen did live through was several crises of the pound, and certainly sterling's in the crosshairs now, and it's all down to the dollar fundamentally and dollar strength. And, you know, without sounding trite, what is the past of least resistance to the dollar apart from it? I mean, it can only seemingly go higher.
Yeah, I still think, we've been of the thought that a stronger dollar is just something that you can't fight for the moment, and you really can't fight until you get a much better idea of what this global inflation environment that we're all dealing with in terms of how it evolves, and you know, when we get a sense that the central banks are going to be able to at least slow their hiking process down. So, you know, dollar strength and you know, really the challenges that are emerging from Europe because of the war makes both sterling and the euro, you know, prime candidates to go lower relative to that dollar.
You get a feeling with the action in U.S. equities in the past couple of days that investors, even though they're hearing only hawkish commentary from the Fed, that they're starting to think about positioning for once real rates move lower. And so the thing is that if you have inflation turning down, it could turn down quicker then the Fed is raising interest rates as a result of it getting almost close now to the neutral zone. So you're in a period where the market may not care what the Fed says if they see inflation and thus real rates actually coming down.
Yeah, absolutely. And we kind of, to a certain degree, went through this over the summer when we started really thinking about the Fed being able to slow down because we were getting signs that inflation was at least starting to stabilize. You know, we got a message out of the ECB today where they thought inflation was going to remain elevated really well into 2023. So that inflation uncertainty is still there. Energy coming off will probably kind of help the discussion, but really the jobs market and how inflation potentially can be spreading into wider parts of the core reading, if you will, is going to be key to whether or not the market is premature in its thinking that the inflation fight is closer to the end than kind of the sixth or seventh inning that the central banks seem to be saying.
But there are many indicators out there, not least the ones that we saw in new prices paid in the latest ISM surveys, but others which are really seeing, I suppose, a fall off in inflation. A, do you buy the data? And B, is this, heaven forfend, the totally wrong time for Jay Powell to be turning Volcker?
You know what? I don't think so. The Fed was certainly concerned with financial conditions loosening again, the way they did over the summer, and that's ultimately works against what they're trying to do on the inflation side of things. I do think that they need to continue this very strict rhetoric around remaining hawkish and doing what it needs so that the financial conditions, you know, can ultimately continue to tighten so that inflation not only starts to get under control, but keeps a downward path that, you know, markets are really hoping for and to a certain degree pricing at this point.
Do you feel that the Fed is targeting the stock market to a certain degree? And so will we be looking for comments from them to try to keep the market from running up, if indeed that's what it wants to do?
Yeah, you know what? I think wealth overall in the U.S. is something that's supporting kind of this higher inflation environment that we have, whether it's just the equity markets and or the housing markets, which certainly have created a lot of wealth over the last several years. All of that needs to ultimately come into the calculus in terms of how they approach an environment where spending isn't as robust as we've really seen for the last 6 to 9 months.
Marvin, is there anything, do you think, that market participants are at the moment missing or perhaps foolishly discounting?
You know, we certainly have seen a bit of adjustment over the course of the last couple of weeks, you know, the AUKUS message making its way into risk assets. I think, however, there still are asset classes that are not really discounting the potential that a recession is not only on its way and likely something that the Fed is to a certain degree hoping to manufacture in terms of slowing growth, but that the risk is certainly that they over-tighten. In particular, you know, credit and high yield, to me, stands out in just really where overall levels are compared to how those asset classes typically trade going into a recession.
As we come up to the CPI report next week, what happens if we get a little bit of a surprise to the downside?
You know what? So from a headline perspective, it's certainly, there's certainly a chance that we might get a downside surprise, particularly given what energy has been doing. I think that we have to be somewhat broad in terms of how we look at it, make sure that kind of the services component, the core aspect of CPI, is doing what we would expect to occur. I find it difficult, given the housing component within CPI, as well as what food is doing, to really take a lot of solace in a print that might be a little bit better than what people expect. The market, you know, certainly might grab hold of it, but, you know, really keep that in perspective in terms of how much further it needs to get before we can even think about a 2% kind of CPI number.
And are we seeing signs yet, Marvin, of this filtering into the demand side of the equation, i.e. in wages, which would then create perhaps that circle which does create inflation?
Certainly we're seeing demand destruction on the good side of things. Most certainly, it is driven by different income strata. So you do have kind of the wealth that remains at maybe the middle to higher income, not having as big of an effect. In terms of wage gains, however, I still think that is a risk. We didn't see a lot of wage gains in the last employment report as more people kind of came back into the workforce, so that was encouraging. But we need to see much more of that type of an environment where a few hundred thousand people come into the workforce while demand for those jobs starts to slow to really get a sense that kind of this wage concern that the Fed has in terms of, you know, really ingraining itself into the process can be looked a little bit more favorably.
I think of you as a bond guy, Marvin, going back a ways. Scott Miner, another guy who really looks at the bond market, he had a tweet earlier this morning, which was pretty scary in the sense, talking about a 20% sell-off in stocks and basically just kind of building on this rule of 20 idea that when you have PEs plus core inflation over 20, you're in the danger zone. And that's why he's looking for a big drop-off. You've got the PE on the S&P about 19 and change. And of course, core inflation's almost 5%. Is that something that you find some resonance with, that kind of thinking?
You know what? I think that to me, that number feels fairly large. I do think that at this point, the bond market is trading within ranges unless we get a significant change in kind of that inflation discussion going into, you know, let's say late fall, where it doesn't look like it's moving in the right direction. I think that we can hold the levels that we saw earlier this year. So, you know, certainly a 10-year that had approached 3.5%. We probably will be in an environment where we have a steeper have a flatter and more inverted curve, but that might be enough to keep stocks ultimately from going much lower than what we saw earlier this year. I wouldn't be surprised if we retested, but I do think that there are dynamics out there that will keep us with the lows already having occurred.
Marvin, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Marvin Lowe there, Senior Global Macro Strategist at State Street, getting the latest and his take on the market.